Hey, somebody asked me to speak about how should we respond to sin, to Avera. I assume the question was how to respond to your own Avera, not how to respond to somebody else's Avera. That's what I assume the question was. And I again ask everybody to send in more schmooze topics, but that's the topic that I was asked to speak about. So I thought that was a great topic. And certainly, obviously, we don't like sinning. We don't encourage sin in Judaism. But at the same time, we have to realize that Ein Adam Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Ya'aseh Tov V'lo Yechta, the Pasuk says. There's no such thing as a person who does not sin. We have to realize that it's going to happen. People are going to sin. There is no person that does not sin. That's only for angels. Angels don't sin. But human beings, part of being a human being is that you have human failings. You're not perfect. That's the definition. That's what the Pasuk is saying, that part of the definition of being a human being is you're going to make mistakes. Sin is a part of life, and it is crucial in our growth as B'nai Torah that we learn how to deal with sin. And the main thing that I want to highlight is that there is a very fine line between getting depressed about sin and feeling down enough to motivate you to be better. We've spoken about this in the past. And when I say depressed, I don't mean clinically depressed. If a person is clinically depressed, you have to go get therapy or go take medication for it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are, you know, not yet at the stage of being, but still getting depressed about sin to the extent that it just often snowballs and wallows you deeper and deeper in your own misery over the sin, that's bad. Usually you get into a funk. When you do an Avera, you get into a funk, you're down. It leads you to get worse and worse. And actually, sometimes just being so upset about sin or being upset about other things can actually bring on even a clinical low-grade depression. You know, some depression, some of the illness of depression comes from a person's chemical makeup, but sometimes depression can be brought on from a person. Sometimes it's a combination of both. I mean, right, people who chas v'shalom go through a terrible tragedy then experience depression. That says that depression has to do with how you react to things. And sometimes a person being in sin can bring on depression, can bring on a low-grade depression or a real depression. We have spoken in the past about how important it is for a person to always, even when having sinned, to have a simchas achayim, to be positive about life, to be positive about his own ability to improve. I've spoken many times about how striking it is the fact that the 98 curses in Parshas Kisavo come to a person of Tachas Hashalom Avartas Hashem Lekecha B'Simcha V'Tov Leivav. The person has to be eternally optimistic, always positive. However, having said this, there is a modicum of pain that a person is supposed to feel following a sin. Certainly, the main goal of responding to sin is obviously tshuva. Chazal say that if a person addresses his sins in the right way, we all know, the sins themselves can turn into mitzvos. And that's one of the understandings. How can a sin become a mitzvah? I understand maybe how this is donos nasilo kishkagos, it could become like did it by accident. But the Gemara in Yuma says, Rish Lakish says, that even your averis can become like mitzvahs. Of course, it was Rish Lakish who well knew this, who was a robber, a gangster, and he became a big Talmud Chacham. So, because if the sin itself brings you to tshuva, to a higher place than you were before, so then the sin itself became the motivator for you to become close to Hashem. So in retrospect, it turns out that the sin was actually a good thing for you, if you learn from it the right way. Just last night, at around midnight, I got an email from a boy in the yeshiva, who, let's just say, had some consequence to him recently, had some pretty major consequence, and he writes me a long email. This doesn't happen all that often. Writes me a long email about how he was wrong in what he did, and he wrote, basically in the email, he wrote everything he ever did wrong in all of high school, and he was saying about how, and I wrote it, it's going to be chapter 49 in my book. I have a list here of all the chapters in my book. One day when I retire, I'm going to write about the stories of DRS. But it's going to be a bestseller for sure. So he wrote me last night a long email about everything he got out of the yeshiva, and then after this grade he wanted to switch out and how he didn't like it. But then he wrote about all the relationships he had with his rebbes and the relationships he has with me, and how even when he messed up, he felt it was a learning experience, and he agrees with what happened to him here, and it's because people really care about him and want the best for him. It was really amazing. Maybe once every 3 years I get an email like that. So if you use sin the right way, so sin can really catapult you into a better place. That's what the Gemara means when it says, "B'malkam shabali tshuva omdim, afil tzadikim gemur, meinim yicholim lamod," that in a place where Bali Tshuva stand, if you really, you know, use the sin to motivate you to come forward, so then the sin really does become a positive. And you all know, of course, that there are three parts to Tshuva. You have to vidui, saying the sin, charata, which means regret, and kabbal ala asin. Now, charata is what we're talking about over here. Reaction to sin. Now, charata, feeling regret about the sin, is very, very important in the tshuva process for two primary reasons. Number one, that's what the Rishonim say. Charata is important for two reasons. Number one, if a person really feels in pain over his sin and feels regret, which he should feel so long as that pain doesn't debilitate him, and so charata accomplishes two things. First of all, as the Rishonim say, and the Bali Musar elaborate, that if you really feel pain over your Avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can look at that pain and say, I'm not going to punish him for the Avera, because he already punished himself by the pain that he feels over the sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can sometimes count that pain bimkom the punishment that he'd have to give. Once I did it already. So that's how tshuva, that's one of the ways that tshuva wipes away punishment, is that we should consider the pain that I felt over the Avera to be in place of the punishment. The second reason why charata, regret, is so important is because the sicker you feel about your Avera, the more likely you won't want to experience that sick pain again, so that when it comes time to have that Avera come around the second time, it's as an aider and a better to the third part, which is Kabbalah ala Asid. The more you have charata, the more you really feel regret, and you make yourself sick over the Avera, and you feel like, I would never want to feel like this again. So hopefully that could be a helpful motivator for you not to come back to that feeling again, because you really feel sick about it. However, again, it's crucial that you have to tread this fine line, and it's very difficult sometimes to tread that line. Very difficult. To tread the fine line between really feeling painful regret, but not allowing that to color your overall matzav ruach and your overall desire to turn that pain into, to co-opt that pain and turn that pain into a motivating force to go forward and to be better and to change and to grow. Another important part of reacting to sin is something I hear all the time, something I heard once from Rav Meir Tversky, and I say it over all the time also. Tversky says, we said it this morning in Mu'urachim, Nach besa drachenu v'nach kora v'nashuva al Hashem. Very, very fascinating pasuk. Nach besa drachenu v'nach kora. So in classic Rabbi Tversky form, so he says, in the brisker analysis of Nach besa drachenu v'nach kora, what's the difference between Nach besa and Nach kora? So where do we have halachic categories of Nach besa and Nach kora? So Nach besa we have, it's coming up, Bedikas Chametz. So the Gemara's language by Bedikas Chametz is, you have to lechapes b'chorinu v'stakim. So what are you looking in the chorin with the stakim? What are you looking in the corners? You're looking for the chametz. You're looking for the actual chametz. You're looking for the piece of chametz. Because one element of reacting to sin is to examine the corners, the chorin and the stakim, the cracks and the corners of our neshamas, of our lives, to see what the sins are. You got to know the details of what the sins are in order to do tshuva. You got to know what you do. That's step one. You have to first know what it is. But then after Nach besa drachenu, you have to also Nach kora. What's Nach kora? Where's the halachic category that we've seen of chakiras? So we're going to learn it next year, Bezer Shem Sanhedrin. The Shiva Chakiras. What are the Shiva Chakiras that they would ask the Baal Aveira, the guy who did the Aveira, they would ask him, Be'ezah Yom, Be'ezah Chodesh, Be'ezah Shavua, what year was it, what day was it, what month was it? Zokter of Tversky, what's V'nach Kora? It's not enough when we react to sin to look at the actual sin itself, the actual piece of Chametz itself. It's not enough. You have to look at the context of the sin. What caused the sin? What factors caused the sin? What environment caused the sin? What people who you're maybe hanging out with caused the sin? What sviva? All the factors that led. That's chakira, said Rotorsky. Nach besa drachenu v'nach kora. It's not enough just to look at the actual details of the sin. You have to also look at what led you to it. Once I was at a program at Harvard about being a principal, leadership, whatever. So this guy spoke there, a Jewish guy, very, very funny guy. He wrote a book. I even was so impressed with the guy's talk that I read the book. I don't read all that many books, but that one I did read. Rabbi Storch and Rabbi Emerson, who went a few years after me, also loved this guy, also bought his book, also read the book, and then did an entire faculty workshop based on this guy's research, this guy Bob Keegan. And basically they were talking about how people change, because when you that's the big, you know, the big thing in schools, especially if you take a look at the public school system in the United States. So one of the biggest problems is that there's, like, you know, everybody just stays the same, and there's a certain sense of breeding mediocrity. That's one of the big issues that the public schools deal with. So everyone's talking about change, how to lead for change. You're going to come in there in the new school and you're going to go in. So the Harvard program is a lot about that, but it's good for everybody. Yeshivas also need to know, you don't want to get into this rote routine of mediocrity. You always want to be, so how do you get people, right? How do you get that teacher who's been teaching the same way for 20 years and he's been, you know, turning the kids off for 20 years? How do you get that teacher to change? So that's what he spoke about. It's very interesting. So one of his big, he makes the same point as Rav Tversky. One of his big things is, that's why, right, they all talk about how, you know, 105% of New Year's resolutions fail. Right? That's the statistic. Because not only do all the New Year's resolutions fail, but people usually end up getting worse from New Year's resolutions. That's what the statistics show. If you take upon yourself to lose weight, not only what you lose weight, you'll usually gain like a few pounds. So he analyzes why that's true. The simple analysis, I don't have time to go into the whole analysis, but the simple analysis is that just there's a reason why you were at that weight in the first place. So just getting the gangbusters up and saying, I'm not going to eat this anymore and I know how bad it is for me and all that stuff, ain't going to do it, because you knew that before and nothing changed, and you're going to be in the same position. You're going to have the same thing in the closet. It's all going to be there again. whatever made you do it the first time, is you didn't get rid of that. The question is, you have to do more research and say, look into the matter deeper. What Kagan says, he talks big assumptions. He talks about big assumptions. That people, the reason why people are the way they are is not just because they don't have enough drive to not be that way. It's because there's a balance. There's something pushing you in the other direction. Don't just look at, trying to build up your resistance to sin. You have to look inside yourself and look at what are the things that are pushing you in the first place to do it. Just saying, I know it's horrible for me and I know it's going to be bad for me. I know I'm going to get fat if I eat that. That's not enough, because you didn't look at how powerful your taiva is on the positive side. You got to deal with that also. If you want to really work on change. If a person is... He's looking at stuff on the internet, or Rabbi Willick says there's an issue yichud with the internet. If a person walks by a certain place and you always see something, and that always so you have to avoid the whole thing in the first place. You have to see what's the whole context of sin. So an important way to react to sin is that not only to look at the actual details of what we do, but the circumstances that led there. Led us in the past or continue to lead us. Ask for advice from people. How to battle it. Even difficult sins. Don't be embarrassed to ask. Even tough sins. I've asked many, many questions to my Rebbeim about difficult areas in sin. Very, very powerful, difficult areas. And I have certain approaches. You should ask people. Ask people who've dealt with it. Who have dealt with these problems. Some people have a tendency, just to close with one final point, some people have a tendency to walk around and say, oh, if this bad thing happened to me, it must be because of the sin that I did. Like, they mamish go like in detail and say, as their reaction to sin is that, oh, if I stubbed my toe, it must be because I did that particular aveira or something. And I've heard some rabbanim speak about that. And I've 100% true that a person is supposed to look at everything that happens to him in life as a message to him. It's not always easy to know what exactly the message is, but I think I don't think a person is supposed to go through life and say, well, I know that the reason this bad thing happened to me is because I did this. We're not, there's a certain amount of, we're not the Rabbono Shalom. We don't know the Rabbono Shalom's ways, and I don't think it's appropriate for a person to say that I know for sure that this thing happened to me because, that I didn't get this job, or I didn't, get into this program because of the Lashon Hara that I spoke 3 weeks ago. It's not a bad thing for a person to say, maybe Hashem is trying to send me a message here. Maybe I generally have to cut down on some of my avers. That's fine. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. When bad things happen, you're supposed to take it as a message to you. But I think that linking particular consequences with particular averus, I think that I've heard other rabbanim speak about that, but I don't think that we can play the Rabbono Shalom to that level and say, I know that this particular thing happened to me because of particular aver X that I did. So the main point in reacting to sin is to use the sin to grow. And again, maybe another good topic to be would be to how to react to other people's sin. I assume that this topic was reacting to your own sin, but I think it's important to know how to react to other people's sin too. But giving tochacha, how does one do that? I think that's a very good topic also. How do you give tochacha? When do you give tochacha? Maybe that'll be for a future shmooze. The main thing is to use sin to grow. Sin allows you to understand yourself better. It allows you to understand other people better. You understand the world better. And actually, sin, if you use it to grow, you could become enriched. And the truth is that, right, the reason I can help other people get out of sin is because of the sins that I did myself. So I know about sins. I know about them. So once I did them, right, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, you got to go to the Gan Mavocha. Who do you go to if you're in the middle of the Gan Mavocha? for those who know about what I'm talking about, if you're familiar, you got to go through people who have already been through the maze and gotten to the end of it. The other pshat in your averus becoming like mitzvahs is if you could use those same kochus, right? Al chet shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzer hara, we say. So the Bali Moses say that you could use the same kochus that you have for sin, right? You stay up late doing X, that means you could also stay up late studying Torah. You could also stay up late helping people to co-opt your yetzer hara, to do good stuff. And that's also a reaction to sin. To say, hey, if I have these kochos, if I have a problem, let's say I'm a pushy guy, so instead of pushing people to annoy them, you could push people to give tzedakah. Okay, maybe not. But there is a mitzvah, yeah, to help people give tzedakah. But there's also an idea of trying to co-opt the Yetzer Hara, to try to use your kochos, especially your kochos that you're using for bad, to try to co-opt those and say, oh, if Hashem gave me these kochos, like Hashem gave me taivas, he gave me big desires to do things, so I have to, he gave me ambitions, so I have to try to use those and channel those latov. So hopefully we've learned a little bit about how to react to sin. I hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives all of us the strength to, and that's the key point of what I said at the beginning about having the balance between having charata and being really down about the sin to the extent that it motivates you, that you should feel badly, you violated the Ratzon Hashem, that's a pretty bad thing. But not that it should get you into a state of depression, chas v'shalom, or that it makes you just despondent. But adrab, it should motivate you to say, how can I get out of this? How can I rise out of this? How can I find something? And always to maintain a positive attitude, because without the positive attitude, you can't be productive in Hashem's world.